Eleanor, a 200-mile walk in search of England's lost queen. Written and read by Alice Loxton. If you'd like to see some photos that were taken along the walk, see the accompanying PDF in your audiobook library. This book is dedicated to those whom in life we dearly cherished and in death we cannot cease to love. Introduction. Searching for a lost queen. Unable are the loved to die, for love is immortality. Emily Dickinson. In September 2022, a curious spectacle played out in the streets of London. Over the course of 6 days, 250,000 people gathered in an extraordinary 10-mile-long queue. It started at the doors of the Palace of Westminster, then stretched out like a snake winding through the city. Along the River Thames, past the National Theatre, London Bridge, and then out towards Southwark Park in the east. The country was captivated. "How long is the queue now?" was the highest trending Google search in the United Kingdom that week. What caused this phenomenon? Were these people queuing to grab music tickets or audition for a TV show? Nothing of the sort. These were mourners, ordinary people, deeply moved by an unprecedented event, the death of a beloved queen, Elizabeth II. After a record-breaking 70 years on the throne, Queen Elizabeth died on the 8th of September 2022 at Balmoral in Scotland. In the days that followed, her body was taken to Edinburgh, where a vigil was held at St Giles Cathedral, after which she was brought 400 miles south to London. First to Buckingham Palace, then to Westminster Hall. Here, the public were welcomed to pay their respects. On Thursday, the 15th of September 2022, at 10:12 a.m, I joined the throng. I took a day off work and became part of the queue. My companions were Len, a smartly dressed octogenarian veteran who travelled up from Cornwall that morning, Rachel and Jane, two beauticians from Merseyside, and Leo, a French student from UCL, with a large flop of black hair. For 8 hours, we shuffled along the riverbank, leant against railings, and fetched food for one another, though Len, the Cornish veteran, had ham sandwiches packed by his wife. We watched the Thames rise and fall with the tide, chatted about everything and nothing, and zigzagged through fencing. All of this to spend time in the presence of the late Queen's body, to inhabit the same space for just a moment before being ushered out the door and back into the streets. But why? For Len, the Queen had been a constant comfort over his long life. "I remember watching the coronation as a boy," he laughed, "and we all piled into the only house in the village that had a television. It was one of the most exciting days of my life." For Rachel, it was Queen Elizabeth's values, duty, faith, optimism, humility, that she so admired. She felt like a kind of distant grandmother, a woman of real conviction and character. She always did what was right, not what was easy, unlike me. Leo was fascinated by the history. "We don't have the royal family in France, so it's very cool for me to see all the royal ceremony and traditions continue in Britain." By the time we arrived at Westminster Hall, it was dusk. We were ushered in, and suddenly, after hours of anticipation, I was hovering on those famous stone steps and gazing upon one of the most important, oldest rooms in British history, built in the 11th century. Under this immense hammer beam roof, King Charles I was put on trial and condemned to die. Here, tables had groaned with the feasts of coronation banquets, and the great and good had listened with anticipation to the speeches of world leaders. We split into two lines. The Queen's coffin lay ahead in the centre of the hall, draped with a royal standard and surrounded by an armed guard wielding swords. The room wasn't noisy as such, but there was an eerie, unearthly sound as hushed whispers and shuffling steps danced around the